Hello and welcome, Cosmic Explorers, to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I am your co-creator, Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregory here. Thank you for joining us tonight.
And you guys, just a couple of quick announcements before I bring our most amazing guest on, Victoria Reynolds, spiritual luminary. Just love her. Just want to let you guys know that if you're watching this now, there's still time to get in on this very special, spectacular Cancun getaway. Ooh. Right? So it is going to be during Halloween weekend, the weekend of the Day of the Dead. So can you imagine being in Mexico celebrating Day of the Dead? I know, I can't wait. So there's going to be a lot of things going on. So you guys got to click on the link in the description below to reserve your spot. You have until June 21st, and then the boat literally sails after that date. So Rebecca, I'm excited. What about you?
I am so excited just to actually go away. And I haven't been away a while since everything's been going on in the world. So, and just, I was literally called to go to this when it got put together and everything. So I am just beyond excited to be there during that time in that energy in Mexico. And so sign up and have fun with us. It's gonna be, who knows what's gonna happen.
Yeah, and if you have questions, just email us at cosmicinsightradio@gmail.com or hit us up on social media and we'll answer any and all questions in regards to you hanging out with us.
Sounds
without
awesome.
Further ado, I'm in a good mood. I'm like feeling all giddy today. I am happy to bring our guest, Ms. Victoria Reynolds, who is a spiritual luminary, oracle of freedom, heart healer, and inspirational author. She was born into a polygamous cult in the mountains of Montana and escaped at the age of 17. Victoria navigated the real world she has been taught as a child to fear, eventually becoming a successful entrepreneur, owning several successful companies. And you know, this is the part where Victoria and I believe have a real parallel in our lives, because in 2008, you know, the economic crash led to her personal awakening, what she calls her holy shift, and led her down a path of that she never imagined. As spiritual gifts were activated, a new life emerged. She let go of traditional business and began teaching spiritual concepts, helping others to transcend fear while also raising two small children. Just last year in 2020, she created another massive shift in her life and is focused now more than ever on helping to free humanity from the confines of fear to move on to a reality based solely on love. I love that.
Victoria.
I didn't realize what a long bio that was for a short bio. I'm going to cut it down a little bit.
No, it's totally fine. And, you know, I appreciate it because, you know, after reading it a few times, it got me to thinking about my own. So I said, no, this is where we have parallels. It's in 2008, that's when things started getting awakening for me, because that's when I started writing my book and doing things in alignment with gratitude and stepping into that energy. So, yeah, soul sister.
Yeah, that created, I've noticed that awakenings tend to happen concurrently with collective shifts across the planet. And a whole lot of people had their awakening experience as a result of the 2008 recession. And that was a global event as well. So people all over the world started having their spiritual awakenings then. And there was a huge number of people waking up before 2012. Then it kind of felt like a flat line for a while. And then now we have the Great Awakening, which back in 2008, we knew this was coming. We were talking about it. The spiritual community was saying, oh, Great Awakening is coming. This is what we're practicing for. And in 2020, here we have it.
Yeah.
And during the Great Awakening, this happened, right? What are the biggest shifts that you've been seeing from people you work with, or just in general of the great, you know, of the shift of how humanity was and what it's shifting into? Have you seen a big difference in that?
Well, it's really interesting because what we're seeing is a separation mm-hmm. between two completely different realities. And so in 2008, 2009 to 2012, that was a spiritual awakening. It was, so it's like the light workers woke up early so that they could help the rest of humanity through what's going on right now. Yes. That was beautiful. There was no division or any of that. It was just, let's go. This beautiful spiritual awakening. And that's what we were experiencing. And the only negative things really going on in the world, at the same time, there was the march on Wall Street and people recognizing that the 1% did not have the best interest of humanity. And we knew that the systems didn't necessarily serve humanity, but this literally againstness was not a part of the 2008 awakening. And the division wasn't a part of the 2008 awakening. It was just this uprising of spiritual awakening that occurred.
Yes.
And so for me, what I saw happening in what happened at the end of 2012, a lot of people, I've talked about this before, what happened at the end of 2012 is 4D and 3D converged. And what spirit was showing me is that that would create a duality reality.
Yes.
At the time, I had no idea what that meant. And now it's incredibly obvious what that convergence meant. So, but that convergence was necessary because the only way to get to 5D is through 4D.
Yes. Thank you for that.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you spoke of your new mission as of 2020 is to, you know, help lift the vibration of humanity out of this, these depths of fear. And, you know, one of the things that I have been, wow, it's June.
Crazy.
I know. And the thing for me for last month, during the month of May, was this energy of trust, to really step into that energy, to have faith and know that everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to get better. Everything is getting better. And so with this transition from trust to allowing, you know, people to move into that, what do you feel intuitively are the next steps, you know, for people once, you know, moving out of trust into the next level, into the love of others, love for humanity, love for self?
Well, there is that trust, which is really, really difficult for humanity to even get into. And the reason is because we don't have self-trust. Mm. Self-trust is the most difficult trust of all. And then there is this ability to allow life to unfold and surrendering to the process, which the ego has a very, very difficult time with, this idea of surrendering and allowing things to open up. There's this kind of an unfolding that's going to start happening, and that in the space of love and love for all life on earth, we allow this unfolding to occur without having any kind of attachments to what it has to look like. So what I have really seen is a lot of the suffering that exists on our planet exists because we attach what we think it needs to look like. Mm-hmm. And when we let go of the attachments of what things should look like and simply hold them in a vibration of love with a vision of what we see the outcome being, then it can unfold without the suffering attached to it.
Oh, go ahead.
No. I love it when this happens. You first.
No, that was a beautiful unfolding. And that detachment right now, that learning how to detach from things is so important. And I find for myself, it's almost like up-leveling. Like, we used to detach from simpler things. Now it's almost an up-level detachment, you know, from breaking down from, you know, our belief systems at a new level. You find that, and I feel like even self-love, it's like we're going into, there's a separation happening, but there's also this, I feel this inward energy happening at the same time. Well, we have to look at ourselves at a whole nother level in that separation to connect and trust and surrender at a different space. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the self-love is definitely deepening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And this understanding that because we are all one with the energy we call God, that really understanding that we are the creators of our reality, and that divine love through each one of us is divine intervention.
Yes. Beautiful.
I love that. And the trust that we have to allow ourselves is a big factor in all of this, as you just so put it eloquently. And the attachments that we have now, and I'm glad you said that in such a way, Rebecca, because the attachments that we have, thought we had, they were so based in 3D in intangible ways. And so now the shift is now moving from the intangible, the things that we, know of but can't see, feel, or touch, use our senses, and how it is connected to the ego. It's like, well, no, that can't be right. Oh, no, this can't be right. And sometimes, you just have to say, okay, whatever. And just move on from it, because that's what holds us in that space, is that old belief of this is right, this is wrong, always have to be black and white, as opposed to moving into the spectrum of the rainbow, if you will.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. And most certainly, yes, the rainbow frequency is very, very strong on the planet right now. It's the I call it the rainbow light of source. It's this diamond light. It's pure light. Mm-hmm. And the reality that we're moving into is heart-based, rather than in this 3D reality we've been living in. It's been, aside from using the term ego, it's personality self wanting to run the show. So instead of asking, is this right or is this wrong, I continually ask spirit, what's best? What's best? Yeah. What's best? And as we start making choices from what's best instead of right, wrong reality, then humanity can move forward into it, a whole new way of moving
yes.
through life.
I always like what's best. I always like to use as this honoring me.
I use that as well. I'm really, really big on self-honor.
Yes. Yeah. So that's always helps me. When I'm shifting and not knowing what to do, bringing itself back to me is dishonoring me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm just taking all this in, because as we move into, as one of my brothers put it, instead of us being of service and moving into the space of being a divine presence, for mm-hmm. others, mm-hmm. or as I like to put it sometimes as well, being this light transmitter or light transmuter. Well, as opposed to, the overly used term being an alchemist. Yes, we all, can do these things. But when we allow ourselves to step into being of service or the divine presence for others, it really speaks to the shift within self. And so with that being said, Victoria, what are some of the things that you've noticed in some of the people that you've been working with, or even on the planet, some of the subtleties of allowing the divine presence to be known and seen?
Well, what's really interesting is that I'm seeing, sorry about that. What I've been seeing is, again, we're saying this separation, right? This duality reality. And some people are moving more and more and more into fear, and other people are moving more and more and more and more into love. And what I really have seen in the last year is that those people who have been really holding those highest loving vibrations, what I find fascinating, and I was predicting this a couple of years ago, is that they're the ones that are doing the best financially. Which is completely the opposite of how it's been in the past, where the greed was making the most money, and that the tables have flipped.
Interesting.
Yeah. So what I saw in 2020 is people who did the best financially, other than, you know, the couple of organizations that made insane amounts of money off of the sickness, were artists and healers and teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely say that's true from my perspective. You know, holding that light, being that divine presence, you know.
Yeah, and so I think we will start seeing more of that, where the people who can hold their frequency up, that the prosperity that's going to start flooding our planet is actually aligned with that higher vibration of love.
Yes. And it's so beautiful to see that shift that's happening, you know, with people who, you know, in the spiritual community who maybe have been struggling financially, talking about that, and all of a sudden seeing that love and feeling that energy of openness finally, where they might have had struggles, that world of not conforming to the greed, you know, of what everything was based on, and moving to this heart base. It's like you move into that flow, allowing that to open, that abundance to open up more, where before you were fighting against a system that just wasn't working from where you function from.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I know people who now are so busy with clients, they can't take any more clients because they are so busy.
Yes.
Doing their soul's work. It's really beautiful.
It is. It is. It's beautiful. And people opening up to step forward, to step in, to say yes to themselves, to finally take that journey where they've been afraid. So it's just such a beautiful time right now. I don't know if you, it's such an amazing time right now. It really is, even though there's so much going on, but it's just amazing time.
Yeah. And it's a matter of which side of the coin you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
So on one side, there is all of that fear and desperation that's happening. And on the other side, one of the things that 4D allowed is that it allowed a lot more of the spiritual gifts to get activated, because spiritual gifts are in the 4D.
Yes.
So now suddenly so many people are having their healing gifts activated, their psychic gifts activated, their spiritual gifts activated, because before we had to stretch our consciousness up out of 3D to make that possible. When it converged in 2012, it's right here.
Yes.
And unfortunately also because it's an astral realm, that's also where the dark entities are as well, which is why all the darkness is now able to come to the surface for transmuting. Mm-hmm. When we were only in 3D, it was hidden. In 4D, it becomes obvious.
The oil has bubbled up.
so we can process it. The 4D is all about processing.
Yes.
Yep. So is it safe to say, Victoria, that as a whole on the planet, and this shift of energy, that we are in 4D as opposed to some of us in 3D, some of us in 5D, and the rest of us in between, but as a whole, in this unification that is happening, what do you see, or what do you see us as?
I don't think anybody's in 5D yet. I think some of us get glimpses of it, but the consciousness 24/7 isn't in 5D yet. I was explaining to someone a couple of days ago that Yeshua walked in 5D.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we create miracles and instant manifestation and pure love. And none of us are there all the time. But, you know, get glimpses of it. But I think the majority of us are in 4D. There are some who are still very much in 3, who don't know what they don't know. You have a whole bunch of people who have started their awakening experience. There's lower 4D and upper 4D. And so a lot of people who are just starting their awakening but have not processed their lives are in lower 4D. They're still in fear. They haven't gone through the necessary process to dig through the layers of fear to find that unconditional love that's inside of every single one of us. The higher 4D are those of us that have spent the last 10, 20, 30 years really peeling off all the layers of fear to get to that divine essence that's inside of all of us, and no longer have that separation between our heart and the heart of Source, and no longer have that separation between knowing that we are divine love having a human experience. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of work to get to that point. And so there are some of us who are there, and we are crossing that bridge first so that we can reach our hands back and help other people cross the bridge. Once enough of us cross over to the higher 4D, the higher heart, then we can start collectively moving into five. That's where magic happens.
Yeah, that's it,
miracles.
I've seen the magic. It's amazing. So I have a question. Can you suggest anything for listeners, or somebody might be tuning into the show, if they're kind of struggling in between that four, lower, higher 4D, to kind of in the fear of moving into love, or anything you can recommend or suggest to kind of help people who want to be here but are still being pulled back into that density and that fear and just in that teeter-totter space?
You read my mind. No fair.
Well, I mean, I'd like to.
My cuffs are kicking in again.
My own, because that is what I help people with. But so my higher self gave me a process when I was first waking up. I call the transcendence process that I was given from what I was calling my inner therapist back in 2008. When it actually didn't start until about 2010 when I started realizing that I needed to figure out how to fix my life. And in 2010, I was, you know, in the middle of bankruptcy and a foreclosure, and I'd lost my business and had maxed out all of my credit cards just to feed my family. And I was like, how do I fix my life? How do I fix my life? And so my inner voice started teaching me how to fix my life. That's where my book Transcending Fear came from. And that's where this transcendence process is that I now teach to other people to help them cross that bridge out of fear and into love. So, I really don't like tooting my own horn because it makes me feel weird and uncomfortable. But that is.
I'll do it for you.
Toot it.
So what I can say, what I found that is the fastest way to shift your reality is to begin with gratitude. And when it seems like there's absolutely nothing to be grateful for, that's when you got to shift into gratitude.
Yeah.
It was the hardest thing for me to grasp when my inner voice was telling me to begin with gratitude. I was like, I don't understand, but my life sucks. There's nothing to be grateful for. And it came to me one morning when I was out walking. I was battling suicide. And so I started walking in the morning because I had a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I didn't want to leave them. And so I was like, well, then I got to figure, and I wasn't about to take an antidepressant because one of the side effects is suicide. So it seemed kind of pointless to take an antidepressant. So I started walking in the morning. And when this message came in about gratitude, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I saw the most magnificent sunrise I think I've seen in my life. And I stopped and I looked at it, and I had such an overwhelming visceral experience of gratitude for that sunrise. Mm-hmm. I realized what gratitude is. It's not a mental thing. It's an actual visceral body, all body, full body experience. And it started with that sunrise and realizing, oh, I have the eyes to be grateful. I have eyes to be grateful for, that I get to see this beautiful sunrise.
And I love that point.
My legs that I can walk on this morning walk.
Mm-hmm. And I love the point. Oh, we're getting straight yet. I love the point you brought out. It's an experience, because I think people, you know, in this world, we get so focused on the word gratitude to look at something tangible. You know, oh, I can look and have gratitude for this cup of coffee or whatever, you know. But you said it correctly. It's not just something we can see. It is something we experience to be in the energy of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important point to make when you're talking about gratitude or anything. And that's, thank you for bringing that up, because it's so true to have that experience of gratitude and embody it in our bodies. And not, it's not just, oh, I have gratitude because I, you know, people do that, you know, it's more to it. So, and I think people get kind of stuck in that, oh, I have gratitude for this, and not embody what it, the true essence of it.
Right. Yes. Right. So it, and it's not, it isn't that false positive either. that oh, it's all good, like the false positive thing, but it's not, right? I mean, sometimes we are in a part of life that really, really sucks. Mm-hmm. And to not try to spiritually bypass it, so it's all good, even though it's not. And to be okay with the fact that what I'm feeling right now is not beautiful and it's not blissful, and I'm going to figure out how to find the gratitude in it. Mm-hmm. So one of the examples I'll share with you is I had started this daily practice of gratitude. What can I be grateful for today? Is there anything new I can be grateful for today? And silly things like, I'm grateful that I have tissues to wipe my baby's nose when they have a cold, that kind of thing. It's little things like that, and being grateful that I could be a stay-at-home mom when my kids are sick. So one of the things that I experienced was sitting in the attorney's office in the middle of bankruptcy, getting ready to file bankruptcy, and I was so angry with myself for allowing myself to get to that point where I needed to file bankruptcy, because in my perspective, I thought that only losers file bankruptcy. I know better than that now, because I'm knowing this for the best peeps. But I thought that was the worst possible thing, was to file bankruptcy, because it meant that I was a complete loser. So I was sitting in the attorney's office, we're filling out bankruptcy forms, and I said to myself, what can I be grateful for in this? That became one of the daily tangents in my life. What can I be grateful for in this? In the midst of the suffering, what can I be grateful for in it? And the message that came in from my inner voice was, be grateful you have the opportunity for a second chance, because in some countries, you're responsible for it, and for the next three generations, they're responsible for your debt. Be grateful you get a fresh start. And that was huge. It allowed me to take all that guilt and all that shame that I had layered on myself about being a failure and about having to file bankruptcy, and really be grateful for the experience of getting to start all over again.
And beautiful.
So when I talk about gratitude, it's not just what good thing in my life can be grateful for. It's literally being able to dig into the darkest places of our lives and be able to extract gratitude out of it.
Beautiful.
You know, this is affirmation for me. Thank you for sharing your story, because, you know, yet again, another example of our lives being parallel, because that's how I started my journey, my path, is with gratitude. And one of the things that, as I teach gratitude, is that I have to help people understand, yes, you know, gratitude is both tangible and intangible. It's that feeling, and it's one that you often have to surrender to. And with the surrendering of the gratitude, you find the next level, which is appreciation for you to have come through whatever it is that you have come through. Because, you know, one of the things I used to do was to teach people about the thank you rampage, you know, and it's always about thank you for me, and just as you did, talking about tissues, thank you for me having tissues, or thank you for having, you know, toothpaste and toothbrush, thank you for the running water that I have today, thank you for this, thank you for that. So it just goes on and on continuously till it reaches heights of like, wait, this is what it feels like? And so you just get there, and you get there, and you get there, and so, you know, it's always about having a strong foundation, and gratitude is that. Gratitude is that foundation to allow people to move from one level to the next.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's one of the things I share with people is that it's impossible to be in gratitude and complaining at the same time. So you got to choose. You're either going to complain about what's going on in your life, or you're going to figure out how to be grateful for what's going on. So, and complaining is part of that fear-based perspective. And gratitude is the love-based perspective. And if we can just make that little shift, am I complaining? Yeah, I'm complaining. I got to shift that. And we catch ourselves whenever we go into those fear-based beliefs, those fear-based perceptions, just to catch them and then flip the script.
Yes.
Awesome.
So something just came up to me right now. You know, we were talking about this the other day. Sometimes expressing and complaining when you're in the middle of something, is it sometimes not really complaining if we're moving, like we might be talking about and unraveling it, but have to like go through all aspects of it. And it sounds like a complaint, but just kind of unraveling something. I know for me personally, sometimes I get caught up and I have to like talk about everything that's going on. I might say I'm complaining, but it helps me to like hear all the energy and unravel everything so I can move into that next tip to gratitude and seeing what everything is. Do you find that? I don't know if that makes sense. I was just
It does. Again, it goes back to that, again, the spiritual bypassing.
Yes.
Right? So it's like, oh, I'm complaining and I'm going to pretend everything over here is fine. But sometimes we have to sit in it and unravel it and juice it to get to what's really going on. And sometimes when you take it and you unravel it, then you can take a look at the whole thing and say, oh, I see what's going on here. And then you can start to infuse their spiritual tools into it. But we can't just ignore things and pretend they don't exist.
And so there's a different fine line there, you know. It's like doing that work and just like bypassing and just complaining.
Because sometimes it'll come up. It comes up for a reason.
Yes.
It's coming up for us to acknowledge it.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I love that. And, you know, as we are moving deeper into the next phase of life or this energy as we know it, it's a lot. I forgot my question, but anyway, it's interesting in how things tend to flow and allow the energy to move the way that it needs to move. And so with us understanding how the separation that has existed for so long, and some people really don't know how to function otherwise, you know, without putting things in buckets and not understanding the unification that is happening. Do you have any advice for people to allow or release the idea of separation and allow for the unification to move into that heart space?
The separation is it's an illusion. Mm-hmm. It's an illusion that's been created to keep us from unifying. And the thing that people need to remember is that every human being on the planet wants exactly the same thing. We all want exactly the same thing.
Love.
Every single one of us. The issue is that we've been told that we want something different, and we've been told that we're divided. We've been fed this whole story that it's simply not true. What we need to do is be willing to have these conversations from what appears to be opposing sides, come together and have these conversations of, okay, this is ultimately what we all want. How do we arrive at that in the way that it's best for all of us? Those conversations aren't being had because one side is being told that they only feel this way, and the other side is being told they only feel this way. And the truth is that we all want exactly the same thing. We just are in disagreement at the moment about how to arrive at that, and we need to stop having two separate conversations and come together and And they're difficult conversations, but we have to be willing to have those difficult conversations if we as a humanity are going to move forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think one of those conversations are starting to surface a little more. I found my own role, and I don't know about you as well, where they're starting to nip in and starting to come up. But you're so right that we need to shift and come together.
Yeah. We need to stop believing the story, which is not true, that we're not all together. We're all together for the same purpose. So we all want to cross that bridge. Our family. We all want to be healthy. We all want to feel secure. We all want peace on earth and joy to the world. We all want that. And there might be a few people who don't, but 99% of humanity, that's what we want.
Yes.
We just figure out how to come together and do it, because there isn't a leader out there that's going to do it for us. That follow the leader is part of the old paradigm.
Yes. Got to do it ourselves.
We're going to do it ourselves. And we have to stop playing us versus them game and come together and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Instead of us versus them, make it us with us.
Yes.
There's only one.
It's interesting because, you know, I haven't spent much time on social media in the past, but I have all the things that I used to do, I don't find myself doing as much anymore because it distracts from the intention that is needed now. Whether if it's me, you know, meditating at night, sending that energy to our brothers and sisters and giving them a boost, or, you know, setting an intention for the truth of what the matter is to be seen. And whatever it is, it's just really finding what is best or what honors me in that moment. And knowing that what honors me is also going to honor, you know, everyone else, because that's what it comes down to. And like you said, it's not about what we all want, it's about how we get there. Mm-hmm. And the how do we get there has always been often troubling to some people. You know, one who is of the light, one who does the work that we do, we often heard many, many, many times, it's like, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe in, or it doesn't matter what you want, you know, or your path, you're on your own path, you just go off and go do your own thing. But now I think it's a time to kind of rewrite that story, or rewrite that quote, if you will, because, you know, you going off and doing your own thing, yeah, it's nice to have this level of independence and freedom, if you will, the sovereignty. But at the same time, we have to allow ourselves to step into the collective and people, you know, when you say that, people go off and say, oh, well, no, I'm going to be part of this group, I'm going to be part of that group, or you want socialism, it's going to be capitalism, it's going to be this or that. And you throw in all these other words that scare people, but it's really not. It's just, you know, the ideas behind them. And so I guess what I'm getting at is, what is another way for us to clear the path of individualism and walk collectively, since we all want the same thing?
Well, the word I started hearing a couple of years ago is interdependence.
Mm.
And it's really about, and the other thing we're going to start seeing more of are alliances and cooperations and interdependence. So, for example, in a cooperation, every person who's a member of that co-op is independent. They are their own sovereign being, yet combining resources for the greater good of the co-op. So I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of those. The same thing with alliance is another word for that. It's that same thing where we are all independent business owners, but we pool our resources for the greater good of the whole. So this interdependence and cooperation is a part of this new reality that we're creating. And it ends up being such a powerful web across the planet that it can't be broken, because it's based in love and mutual trust.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. Beautiful. Of this alliance. And you know, being a writer, being an author, being a poet, people always get hung up on the meanings of these words. You know, when you hear alliance, it's like, oh, someone's going to come out to get me. You know, it's like all these things that triggers. And so, you know, when there is this energy of these old ideas come up, what are some of the things that you suggest, when there's this new energy emerging, you know, such as you just mentioned, you know, people feel triggered or threatened by that idea or the ideals that they stand for. What can you say to those who are on the lower side of 4D, who are still in that fear pattern when they are in or want to be a part of this new idea, but have that fear like, oh, someone's out to get me, or, oh, you know, the law of vibrating energies?
They're accustomed to the competition, which is 3D.
Yes.
The next step up from competition is collaboration. So you might have seen, starting around 2012, that collab started showing up, the idea of collaboration, and to the point that I started saying collab is a normal term. That is a necessary bridge for people to move from competition into cooperation, because getting to cooperation is really, really difficult to get. You have to be really, really loving and come from a complete heart space in order for co-ops to work. And a lot of them fall apart before they really become successful, because there's still that need for control that's in there somewhere. So collaboration is the bridge between competition and cooperation. And nice. So the visual that I get with that is the word collaboration means working side by side. Mm-hmm. So the visual I get with that is, if you imagine two people in their lab coats together in the same lab, they're next to each other, they're working together in the same lab, but they have two completely separate businesses. So they might cross promote each other, but there's no competition at all. In a co-op, there are people who actually provide very similar services, and you cross promote each other, but your services might even be identical in service to the whole. So that's the difference, is that in collaboration, you're cross promoting someone, but their services are complementary to yours. So there's no competition there, but you're also not pooling your resources together, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
It's a great bridge in between those two concepts.
Yes.
I love it. You know, it's like us being all, you know, healers or nourishers, and the things that we do, you know, we all, you know, we first like, okay, well, you know, I can't take any more clients. I'm booked out for the year. Let me give you over to Victoria. Let me see if she has some space available. And off you go. You know, it's like that, because, you know, even my teacher who attuned me actually threw a couple of people my way because he was booked out. So it's like you have that space of just sharing, and the old adage, sharing is caring. You
know? Because it isn't about who's doing the work. It's about the work getting done.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like we're all working together with the same thing to help everybody away to make humanity better. So there shouldn't be a separation. I feel that that people will find who they need to be with, and to work together as a team, be like, oh, this person, I think it would really work really well with this person, but all to work together and co-create this new world together. That's what it's all about.
You know, and stepping out of all that fear-based energy. I mean, it's nice to, as Rebecca, as you put it earlier, to really, as the hot phrase now is, to unpack it. Huh?
Is that a hot phrase now?
Oh yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, to unpack.
I've been unpacking for years.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let me unpack this real quick, and it's like, what are you talking about? So you're gonna unpack all your fears on me? No, thank you. Oh. But people step into that fear-based energy. But I like how you put it earlier, Rebecca. Like, say you sit in it. That's a term I prefer, that you sit in it, you wallow in it, don't bypass it, because, you know, you sit in it, it just allows you to see the whole entire landscape. You know, it's like.
He froze.
Oh, no.
He's unpacking. Hold on.
And I was going to disagree with him on the wallowing part.
Yeah.
It's different to sit in something and to sit in it. And I mean, unpacking, I guess, because you take it all out and you look at it.
Oh, yeah.
I found that if you wallow in it too long, it will start to drag you down into it. So it's different than to just sit with it and be with it and look at it and try to extract the lessons from it.
I firmly agree. And if you start to go on that wallow, give yourself a second, because that ego needs that.
Be like, ooh, don't you deep.
Did you get everything unpacked, Tillis?
Yes, I did.
So one of the visuals that came in a couple of months ago for me, and this was right around Christmas time, and I had taken all the storage out of I put all my Christmas stuff in storage up in my attic, and I had it all out, and I had it sitting in the living room. And Spirit said to me, imagine you're moving to a new world. What would you take with you?
You took that right out of my head, because I was getting ready to say something like that, and like, poof.
Not much.
No.
My kids and my cats and a few things, but that for, so for me, that's what unpacking is. It's like, okay, I don't need this baggage anymore, and I don't need this baggage anymore. And you might open it up and look at it and go, oh, I want to keep this keepsake and this keepsake because there's a good story that goes with this one and a good story that goes with this one. But it's really about unpacking the baggage and just getting learning all the lessons from it that we can, and then just leaving it in the old world.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Exactly. I love that. We are collectors of stuff, aren't we?
We are. You know, yes. And you know what's funny? You say that because you don't realize it. And the thing is, what made me really realize this is when my mom passed about 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just going through all her stuff, I'm like, wait, so if I die, somebody's going to have to deal with all my stuff? No, thank you. And so it's interesting in that respect because, you know, when we transition, not just from physical life to non-physical, but when we transition in our lives, we have these stories and these objects to tell these stories. And so when that object doesn't have that story to tell anymore, what do we often do? Garage sale or give it away or what have you. So I think that's where we are now. We have to start giving stuff away and become lighter, if you will.
Yes.
I do. I discharge it and then I send it back out to the universe as energy.
Nice.
Putting it going a different way, garage selling it, but it's the thing. Yeah. Thank you for the lesson that you gave me. I'm transmuting it and I'm sending it back into the nothingness from whence it came.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes. Yes, and that's what you do if you have non-physical stuff, you know.
Yeah. Which is what most of it is.
Yeah.
Very little of our baggage is actually physical baggage. We have energy baggage, it's belief baggage, it's karmic baggage, it's all just energy.
Ancestral baggage.
And we can unpack
it's like, why'd you give this to me? I don't want it anymore.
It's funny. Thank you, ancestors, and I'm letting it go now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I've been doing this with my daughter, with the ancestor baggage of things that I picked up. You know, I've noticed on my journey with my parents or my mother that I picked, you know, just belief systems from our family. And I openly talked with my daughter. I'm like, okay, we got to get over this. So this is what it is. So it's, you know, it's kind of cool when you can have open conversations now with the younger ones come up. You don't have to take this on. This is, you know, and have them here as well to kind of cut that as well. So
that's something I love that
my daughter.
I love that you're able to have those conversations with your daughter. My daughter just thinks that mom's weird at the moment.
She's 20 now, so we went through the weird phase. How old's your daughter?
She's 19.
Oh, okay. Wait a couple more years.
Yeah. She's a very young 19. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so at some point, we'll be able to have those conversations.
But she's got it. She's with you. They have it. They surprise you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she's a starseed. I'm just waiting for her to remember who she is.
Yes.
She told me when she was little who she is. She just doesn't remember right now. So
she doesn't remember who he is. Yeah, you'll love the moments. I used to love the moments. I did just real quick when my daughter would say something about a star, something she heard from me, and I knew she got it even if she was pretending she didn't. I was like, she is listening. So cool. Have gratitude for those moments.
Yeah. This is
What I was going to say. I knew there was something. I call those hand-me-down beliefs.
Oh.
So we get to a point in our lives when we are no longer willing to wear our hand-me-downs.
Nice.
Right? They're just they're old and holy and worn out and don't fit us anymore. And it really is okay to just give away the hand-me-downs.
Nice.
You know.
I like that.
So just having a moment. Because this is, the summer's always been challenging for me since both my aunt and my mom passed away. Because, you know, that's the time when they passed. And so when you said to me, or when you said, but I felt like you were speaking directly to me, when you said the hand-me-downs. And, you know, I always knew that, you know, there was always multiple reasons of why they passed at the age and timing when they did, you know, part of their soul contract. But with the passing, and Rebecca, you feel this now too, is that there's this level of freedom. There's this level of you know, knowing that they're there, knowing that they did what they did, but this level of freedom that comes with parents, loved ones passing when they pass, you know, especially at the age that I am, you know, it's like, okay, I did what I did. They passed quickly. There wasn't, you know, me having to take care of anybody. So it's like this burden, this thought of, you know, being stuck in their belief system and living up to their expectations, their ideals of me, and then me having to go back and explain to them, I'm not this anymore, I'm this now. And so, you know, when they both were making their transition at their times, they both got it. They got who I was. So it was like, okay, I had to go on this whole long, you know, story about this and that. And it was such a relief knowing that when I get like into my 50s or 60s, that I don't have to, you know, do everything that I perceive that other children do with their parents. So there's like this knowing of that I no longer have any of their hand-me-downs, that everything that is created is on my own volition. Because of my doing, like, oh crap, what did I do now? And I don't have anyone to blame but me.
I love that, Hillis. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you, Victoria, for triggering that. You know, it's like, you know, even though we are all coming together, we are moving up in this ascension, there's still all these little things that pop up every now and again. Like, damn it, as my clients always say, damn it, I thought I took care of them. I'm like, nope, it's still there, still lingering around. And even as one who is in this work and performs it frequently, like just now, I have that. Damn it, that's still around. I thought it was gone. So it's like, you know, you got to stop creating seeds and seeds of old energy. If you're going to plant seeds of new, not seeds of old, because they're just going to keep popping up, you know?
Yeah, I have had that experience as well. Every time I think I'm done with something, it comes back around, takes another pass, right? There, that is still not finished with that yet, apparently.
There's no. Another level to explore.
Yeah. Go deeper and deeper and deeper into it and transmute it to the level.
I had a teacher one time tell me, you're always cleaning.
Always. Indeed. Cleaning. And honestly, Richard, I really want to thank you for that, because that really, really went deep for me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. But
can you believe it's almost an hour? How this time flew by.
I know. We could talk for days.
We most certainly can. We got to have you back. That's for sure. But Victoria, where can people find you and get a hold of you to get to know more about you and book sessions with you?
Best place to reach me is at victoriareynolds.com.
Awesome. So there's the link for everyone. So get in touch with one of my soul sisters, because the other one is Rebecca. So get in touch with her, and she's just pure magic, as you can just see. And I'm just tickled pink today. I'm just so giddy.
Thank you. Victoria, it was such an honor to be with you today. I thank you for your light and the work that you're doing, and just hearing your story. Hillis has known you. I first met you this evening, and just, you know, hearing your backstory, where you came from, it just is so inspiring. It was so inspiring to me, and people watching this show, I hope they get the inspiration that you are from the journey you've taken and everything you've gone through and where you are now. It's just really heartfelt. So thank you so much for taking your path and being where you are now to do what you're doing to help with the collective and humanity.
Oh, thank you. And thank you. Thank you both for honoring the path that I know you both feel guided to participate in. We don't create this new world on our own. It takes us a village, as they say. So I'm truly blessed to be part of this amazing village.
Yes, and it is. It's the village now. We have to come together and help each other and trigger each other so we can clean a little more, you know?
It's hard to see our own stuff. We need other people to bring it out sometimes.
I know, my friends, I always love saying, thanks for triggering me today. This is awesome. Now I can look at this, you know? So it's kind of a game now.
Yeah.
Indeed. And until next week, everyone, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Cosmic Insight. But be sure that you guys tune in into our weekly live Friday tune-ups. They're a lot of fun. And this week on our live show, we'll have Leah on. Yes, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific Standard for the live shows, everyone. So let's...
Who knows what's going to happen. Victoria, maybe you can join us on one of those shows. We just have fun and play and do readings and whatever comes to us.
That would be fun. I love live shows. Those are fun.
Yes. But thank you for joining us here.
Mm-hmm. I said, you're welcome to invite me to play along.
Yeah. Oh, I would love, we'd love that. Definitely. Thank you. I'm like losing my little sunshine here.
I love it.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Until next week, have an amazing day, everyone.